Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good morning on the West Coast and a great day to you wherever and, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and it's been way too long since I've said this. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy from the beautiful city of Charleston, South Carolina, where he is the resident COO, Chief Operating Officer of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified, your friend and mine, Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing very well today, and I am so glad we're back on the air.
I think it's just, I don't know, is it insulting that the studio audience only claps for you, that they clapped for you in the pre-show, and with me, it's just another radio show to them?
No, it's actually appropriate considering that the show is the power of performance. They know who to applaud for.
Very good. Very good.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Hey, listen, today we are talking about perfection and mistakes and how they are both contagious. Now, if you're joining us here on the Power Performance, Troy and I used to host the Radio Free Credit Union show for about 2 years. And instead, we decided when we came back, we wanted to do a show that applied to every industry, every business, the internal workings of your brand and the external, you know, projection of your brand to your audience. And we decided, you know what, nothing makes that point better than music. And we decided that the number one thing you need with music is optimal talent. You need talent when you're playing music. And so we're happy, very happy, to have a sponsor, Troy, that you know very well. You know Chrissy Ortiz over at optimaltalent.org.
Yes, I do very well, as a matter of fact. And Chrissy has a great program that she has put together for folks that really assist them in the opportunity of what normally would have been called HR recruiting, HR learning and development, and it is wrapped up under optimal talent acquisition. And it is a very, not only a trendy word, but it is also a more appropriate word for businesses to consider in the way that they approach the folks that they select to become part of their brand, part of their culture, part of what they do.
Well, yeah, and we're excited to have them. So if you get a chance, go visit the guys up there in South Carolina, optimaltalent.org, Optimal Talent Solutions. It's the first time we've ever had a sponsor. They've been awesome. I've been talking to Chrissy a lot. You know, she talks about just about anything you need from an HR perspective. And Troy, you, when we started talking about the show, mentioned something about musical diversity and how you incorporated music with your training of your staff built around music. And I got to tell you, that was one of the things that really sold me on you know, staying kind of within that South Carolina federal family when we were talking about sponsors.
Oh, cool. Well, good. I'm glad that that worked out. Great.
Well, listen, we are talking about mistakes and perfection. And Troy, you have a list of some very, very historical branding mistakes that you're going to take us through that's going to help set up our conversation about this.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I thought it would be interesting, and I wanted to look at brands that did well in some areas, and then they decided to expand and do something else, and you have to ask yourself, when you're ready to expand the brand, are you doing it just for the sake of saying, I want to expand it, or are you really moving it into a direction that remains consistent with what you're doing? It would almost be the same thing as playing a particular kind of music, and then all of a sudden, just in the middle of it, you just change the music, and you change the tempo, you change the type it is, you might add vocals where it was instrumental before, and it would be a complete shock to the audience. So these are complete shocks to the audience, and I've got them from 10 to number 1. So for all time, here we go, the 10 biggest flops ever of all time. The number 10 one was Bic underwear.
Never heard of it.
I know, neither have I. Now think about it. So you have disposable razors, disposable lighters, disposable underwear. I'm not really sure what market they thought they were actually
going to be. Not sure about that one.
I don't know either. Yeah, that was it. And another one that was really interesting was this fake leather program. Number 9, DuPont came out with this Core Fam fake leather, and they made shoes and purses and a bunch of things with it. And quite frankly, nobody wanted a knockoff fake leather. A number 8, now my all-time favorite, just think of yourself riding on a motorcycle and you're feeling yourself hot and sweaty. You could have smelt like Harley Davidson perfume if you wanted to.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
Another one. Now, this particular company was really good for being able to provide a lotion or a cream whenever you had an ache or a pain on the outside of your body. So we decided, well, maybe we should try to put something on the inside of our bodies to handle pain, and it became Bengay aspirin.
Never had it.
No, wouldn't either. And now, you all know how much people love coffee. I mean, you have a Starbucks experience probably every other day for you at somewhere along the line. Well, Maxwell House, the original good to the last drop, thought that it would be a great idea to put Maxwell House brewed coffee in a ready-to-drink container. So all you had to do was pour the coffee out and off you were going.
Nice.
No, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
So, nope. R.J. Reynolds, smokeless cigarettes. Of course, we've got some electric cigarette thing that's happening now. Number 4, now McDonald's, very, very good brand. Some reason, they decided that they should create the Arch Deluxe.
Remember this.
And it was supposed to be targeted towards adults with more sophisticated palates. Now, I just got to say to you, if you're a sophisticated palate, would you be going to McDonald's for a sophisticated palate? I don't think so.
I've ever said sophisticated in McDonald's in the same day. So
we're talking about kids with McNuggets and fries and things like that, but this Arch Deluxe, no, big flop, didn't work. Of course, in the 70s, you know, we had Betamax, and
yes.
So, of course, was replaced very quickly by VCRs, but Sony spent a ton of money.
I remember very well. You could only get an hour on it, and what good was that if you wanted to watch a movie?
And, of course, what I would consider the Titanic of automobiles that was launched in the year of my birth, so it has nothing to do with any of that, was, of course, the Ford Edsel, which just really – and only about 64,000 of those cars were sold in the first year.
I didn't know there were cars available in the year of your birth, so that's actually very, very interesting to me.
That was good. And the number one product flop by a company that has been known to be extraordinary in what it does was – the 1980s New Coke, when they decided to lock it up in the vault. And what I love about that one is, prior to all of this, when we talked many months ago and you had me give you an opportunity of some things and we discussed a little bit about this, this was one of the products that I told you that I thought was like the biggest mistake that Coca-Cola had ever made. I've referenced it before with Roger Enrico's book, The Other Guy Who Blinked, when PepsiCo gained unprecedented market share. So this is what happens when you make a mistake with your brand. And this one, unfortunately, those other ones, they just didn't gain any market share. They didn't do it. Coke lost market share as a result of doing it. So you must be very careful about the mistakes you make with your brand.
To be fair, and I agree with you absolutely 100%, if I had to put together a top 10 list, that would be on my – of course, given my age, I remember this. I remember New Coke. I remember going to the grocery store with my mom, and it's like, what's new about it? Coke has been Coke since we were in kindergarten. And to be fair, though, Coke survived. I mean, they survived, but they gave a great deal of their audience over to Pepsi and kind of turned it into a debate where it wasn't one before. So I think that's a great way to start – shows talking about mistakes are contagious. They force you to make other mistakes. When I was working with Scott and Ike, a lot of times to talk about events that we had coming up, we'd get online and play Call of Duty online. We couldn't see each other, but we could hear each other. We were playing the same video game. And I remember when you got down, when you were losing, if you had made mistakes, it forced you to make more mistakes. You had to run around more. You had to go taking chances. And I think that's a great way to set up this discussion. Now, you also have 3 examples of things that went pretty well, don't you?
I have some examples. These are my own personal picks of what I think. There's another site that talks about the brand successes on the internet, but it's all based on volume of dollars that are driven for the brand. And I don't necessarily think that dollars driven to the brand means that the brand is successful when we discuss it, because we're equating it more to the performance and the way that employees within a company act and the way that company represents itself in the marketplace. There are times that it's not always big companies who really do the best job, but my number one all-time favorite group, and I've got a lot of evidence for this, is Disney. And if we were ever going to take a look at a brand and say, when have they consistently, or which brand would consistently do something well over and over again and totally integrate it within its culture, it would be Disney.
I would agree with you on that one as well. I will tell you, as a consumer, I'm not always crazy about everything Disney does. I've been to Disney World a couple times, but if you said what's the best American brand of all time, there's just no doubt about it. I would say Disney, for their ability to keep performing to a new audience, literally a new audience. You know, they're bringing back The Lion King, I think this summer in 3D or something like that. And I remember taking my niece to see that, and she was just a little, you know, baby, 5-year-old baby, and she had a baby this year. So Disney's ability to keep putting on a great live performance, they're not a one-hit wonder. They have a collection of greatest hits that spans probably 4 to 5 generations now, and I would agree with you. Now, speaking of perfection, you're right about Coke. You don't really think of Coke as an employee. You don't, you know, you might see the Coke guy delivering Coke at the grocery store, but you don't talk to him. It's just kind of a, you know, just kind of a passing brand. But Starbucks absolutely is a brand that you associate with people. You go in and you order your Starbucks from somebody. I told you all this in the pre-call. I was in there very early this morning. I have not been in Starbucks in a long time, but my wife had to get up early today. She had an early engagement in downtown San Antonio, and I found myself at Starbucks about 5:18 this morning. And so today we're talking about perfection, the perfect song, something you loved or saw the first time you heard, and we're going to have Deb Schaefer joining us from Directions Credit Union to talk about something she found perfect, and a lot of it based on the way it started. Well, the day at Starbucks today started, in my estimation, pretty badly. But again, as I said in the pre-call, it was 5:18 in the morning, but it wasn't that, you know, oh, we're happy to be working at Starbucks kind of vibe. So, you know, Troy, when you think about a live performance, these guys might finish strong today and have a great melody throughout the day, but their intro today was a little lacking, in my estimation.
And sometimes that can affect how you will think about the entire song or how you will feel about the entire brand. So I'm kind of anxious to chat with Deb and to find out what song she has selected for us today.
I am too. Now, for those of you that remember us from the Radio Free Show back, I don't remember exactly when it was. It seems to be it was in the summertime when Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter movie, came out, which, oh, by the way, I didn't like in the movie theater, but loved in my living room when I saw it again on HBO in order with all of the other movies. We called the very morning of the show and said, hey, you know, you tweeted about Harry Potter. Could we bring you on the air and talk about it? And she came on and was just awesome. From Ohio, she's a working mom. She's married. She's got 4 kids in 2 very distinct parts of Generation Next, the millennials and Generation Y, her college crew. And she came on and talked about the significance of Harry Potter, the maturation of Generation Y. And we're just thrilled to have her back. And I said, you know what? When we have you on the show, I want you to talk about a song that you loved the first time you heard it, because it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And the song that she picked, and I've got to tell you, there was only one song she picked that I actually had in my iTunes playlist, and it was Barracuda by Heart. Do you know that song?
Yes, I do.
One of my absolute favorites. But the one she picked, her favorite song, a song she thought was perfect the first time she heard it, another song by Heart called Straight Up, and we'll use that as we go to Deb Schaefer.
Feel the fire.
Margaret Schaefer. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks, Jason. How are you?
I have to admit, I like Heart. Heart is a group that I would put in probably my top 10 favorite bands. I'm, you know, a child of the 80s and stuff like that. But hey, say hey to Troy. He's out in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, Troy. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. Oh,
nice to have you back.
Oh, age, yes. It's Ohio Day here on the radio.
Oh, I-O.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never leave a Buckeye hanging, right?
Never, ever. And
all
by
right.
the way, I think I definitely think that this segment should be straight on with Deb.
I think it's going to be. I mean, I was rocking to that song all morning.
So was I.
All right, now tell us, Deb. We heard the song. We heard a minute of it. We're talking about perfection mm-hmm. and looking at things through a musical prism. It seems like you found this song to be pretty perfect to pick it as one of your favorite songs of all time. Tell us what you loved about it the first time you heard it.
Well, what I loved about Straight On, first of all, it has two rockin' chicks in it. And back in the day, when I heard it, there were not a lot of chicks, you know, rocking the scene. It was 80s hair bands, and, you know, that was it. And, you know, screaming, you know, lead guitars, and, you know, it was just all electric. And, you know, when I heard Heart for the first time, they'd been around for a couple of years, but I just fell in love with them. You know, they had a lot of acoustic guitar, which when I first fell in love with Heart, I was part of a 20-member acoustic guitar ensemble and truly believed that I would grow up to be a rocker chick. Things change. Dreams don't always come to fruition. But anyways.
It's pretty rockin' Detroit, me.
When I first heard this song, the intro that comes in, it's so funky and mysterious. I mean, it's just the drums and, you know, some lead and bass guitar. And you're not sure if what you're going to hear is funk, you know, pop or rock. And then Ann Wilson comes in with these piercing vocals, and she's later joined by her sister Nancy on acoustic guitar and hypnotic harmonies, and I was hooked. And that has been a song that has been on my playlist. Well, it was on a playlist before playlists existed. And I still love it. I hear it, and I have a smile on my face, and I'm rocking out and loving every minute of it.
And so, Deb, that comes to mind that one of the things that really calls to you is your ability to identify with that particular music
mm-hmm.
For a variety of ways. So do you think that that transitions also into the way the way the performance occurs within the brand experience, such as like with Starbucks or with any other retail facility or financial institution?
Absolutely. You know, when Jason was sharing his experience at Starbucks this morning, first of all, you know, that's a rarity. You know, usually at Starbucks, the baristas are just wired to, you know, they're mm-hmm. on, you know, the second you pull up in the drive-thru or come in the front door. And but I think, you know, it's something we need to think about in business. You know, an intro, you know, is at the beginning of a song, and it should be short and not – it should exist, first of all, and didn't in Jason's case this morning, but they should also not be, you know, long, self-indulgent.
Exactly.
You know, your customers or members, they're going to give up before you even get to the first verse, let alone the chorus. And, you know, in business, you know, I'm in, you know, the credit union industry. Our tellers had better have that intro down before the member walks in the door. What we strive for here at Directions Credit Union is, you know, we want that member to leave feeling like they're more than just an account number. And we're only going to achieve that if when they come in the door, we're greeting them personally. You know, members or customers that come into a financial institution or customers that come into a restaurant or, you know, a Starbucks, a business that they're going to frequent, you had darn well better know their names. You had better know a little bit about their life and make that less of a transaction and more of an experience.
Well, listen, Deb, when we first started talking about this, the thing that intrigued me most is that you picked a lot of songs that I remembered, and I will absolutely 100% agree with you. And like I said, I don't want to turn this into beat up on Starbucks. Like I said, it was 5:18 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure these guys got into their groove. But last week I talked about how music is science. It's a combination of acoustics and frequencies and intensities and volume changes. But it's also mathematical, and it's about putting the right notes in the right order and in a certain measure in the right key, in the right time. And honestly, this morning, you're absolutely right. I don't want a big, hey, tell us about your day. I just want to get what I need and get out. And I think that is absolutely true in your business, in banking, that you've really got to think about, is the intro going on too long? I've worked at a bank where the intro was supposed to be an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper asking Deb every question about her life, when all you wanted to do was get the PIN number changed on your debit card at 9 o'clock in the morning and get on to work. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like what you're saying is picking the right volume, the right time, the right intro for the occasion. And it's not just about great member service in your case, but it's about the appropriate amount of it.
Right.
Well, that is fascinating. Hey, listen, I'll let the audience know we're talking about having Deb as a regular correspondent on the show, talking about all the cool things happening out there in the world of banking and music, and the fact that you're a mom of four out there busy, working every day, living your life out there in the beautiful state of Ohio. So we thank you so much for your thoughts. I know Troy's thinking the same thing. We've got to have you back on this air.
I can't wait. It'll be straight on with Deb.
Straight on with Deb.
Straight on with Deb, with Tough Talk and Troy, and then we got
and Jason.
That's all it has to be. Hey, listen, Deb, you have a great day out there. Get out there and check out your brand this afternoon. Make sure everybody is rocking and rolling and is in harmony. And if there's a little bit of drama and a little bit of tension, that's great. Just make sure it gets resolved with music. And I know you guys are putting on a great live performance right now at your credit. You guys are open for business right now.
We are. That's right.
And the West Coast is coming on. We got people out in Alaska. They may not be open just yet. Well, listen, thank you so, so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next time on the show.
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Right. Thank you so much,
Deb.
Deb.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
There you go, a mid-show break. Unfortunately, it's not mid-show. We were closing in on about 6 minutes to go in the show. But Troy, Deb was awesome. What is up with you people from Ohio?
I tell you, you know, what can I say? The Midwest has, got it going.
Representing, yeah. I absolutely agree with what she said about, you know, being ready. Everybody, you and I talked a lot about how at your credit union, the doors don't necessarily open right at 9 o'clock, that if I get there at 8:52 and all I need is to come in and drop something off, a title or a signature, and then get in the car and get on to work, you're going to let me in. That to me is a great intro.
Yeah, there's several things like that. You know, we want to always be ready for the consumer, and we try to make sure that we're not so rule-following that it's got to be exactly at that stroke of 9 o'clock before you open the doors. And I have to tell you, though, that part of the experience that you were mentioning a little bit with Starbucks, I wanted to go back and just chat about it, because I think that where the intro needs to come from and where that lead starts from is from the management and from the leadership of the group. So they are responsible for making sure that the tone is set so that the intro can actually happen and to orchestrate it. And too many times companies absolutely abandon their entire sheet of music and they just leave it up to the people sitting in the chairs to try to figure out, well, okay, so are we starting now on this beat or am I starting on this beat over here? And that's exactly why, even though we're going to ad nauseum compare this to a musical analogy, the reality is It's because that's what makes performance work each and every day. Absolutely. And so there has to be an orchestrated way in which it comes into being, and it has to come from a leader. And, of course, we'll have an opportunity to talk about motivation during the time that we're going to chat here in the next few weeks, because motivation is very important to what song you select or how you keep the momentum going.
Absolutely. And, you know, today I wanted to talk about the whole, you know, that was only one small part of perfection. You know, the guys over at the Starbucks here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, may have a great rest of the day. The rest of the day may be perfection. But again, I believe exactly what you said to be true. It has to come from the leader. We're going to talk so much on this show about the role of a conductor, and that the conductor gets people ready for that live performance, that if you're a leader at your bank or credit union or brand or business, that when you're a conductor is responsible for orchestrating the live performance and rehearsing for the live performance. And you, Troy, you've been a trainer. I've been a trainer. A lot of times, and it's not for lack of trying and spending money, but you've probably been to a lot of training sessions that weren't really preparing people to put on a great live performance.
Well, you know, more importantly, in addition to the fact that, there have been some of those sessions that have been a letdown, where I see the biggest problem is the support that the trainees get once they get back.
100% agree.
And so what happens is that they get all fired up in training, and I know this from a trainer, that what you do is you're teaching, you are getting them to learn, you are trying to do it the right way, you do everything in a world of absolute. And then what happens is they go back to their location, and the people in leadership in that location are like, well, you know, they may have told you that in training, but, you know, here in the real world, this is how we do
it. Wow.
And, oh, my gosh, is that
how
just like driving crazy?
Well, how many times have you heard that? And this is what I'm talking about. The musical metaphors apply each and every day when you start really thinking about them. What you're talking about is we're practicing one way and playing another. And the way I wanted to close out the show was talking about I began thinking about a moment where I was involved in a performance that was perfect. And I went back to a song from the high school band. Our high school didn't have an orchestra. We didn't have strings. We had a large concert band. And, Troy, you probably know this. You know, bands go to these competitions where they're rated. And this is my senior year in high school. And by this time, the band was playing very complicated orchestral arrangements. And I remember when we finished at that particular competition, we were all just looking at each other going, man, that was perfect. And then a couple weeks later, at like the end of year, you know, say goodbye, parents, this kind of thing, it wasn't as great. And it was obvious to everybody. And when people started making mistakes at the end of year event, we all kind of followed suit. And that's kind of where I got the idea of this. But as we go forward and talk about the power performance, believe me, we're going to spend a ton of time on preparation and the fact that when people, like you said, when they get back to the branch, it's got to be reinforced. It's got to be consistent, and it's got to be repetitive. Repetition in music promotes proficiency and perfection. And believe me, Troy, I think everybody listening to the show today would much rather have their 401k invested in brands that did things right versus brands that did things the wrong way.
I would agree, definitely.
Well, listen, it was a great, great, great thing to have you back on the show. It's been way, way too long since December of last year. And I just want to tell you, we are looking forward to all the perspectives we get from Tough Talk and Troy out there, our resident PhD candidate out in South Carolina. And I look forward to continuing this conversation with you next week. Hey, Troy, thank you so much. Have a great week there in Charleston, South Carolina. And I will talk to all of you.
You are so welcome. And this is the power of performance for the last word.
Exactly. We've got to talk to you soon.